Now we turn to the latest news out of Iraq. Earlier today, the Iraqi National Conference announced it has settled on the makeup of a new interim National Assembly. The conference's often acrimonious debates have gone on in the shadow of an uprising by Shiites in Najaf. To update us on developments in Iraq, we turn now to the Washington Post bureau chief in Baghdad, Rajiv Chandrasekaran. Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you, Neil.
What do we know about the makeup of this new interim council?
Well, the new interim council, Neil, will be dominated by members of large political parties, many of which opposed Saddam Hussein for years in exile. This will be a group that will be very pro-government, this new cabinet, the supportive of interim Prime Minister Iyad Alawi, because many of them are from the same party as Alawi and his fellow cabinet members. But the selection here was not without controversy. This new National Assembly was selected without even so much as a vote. Four cardboard ballot boxes were left unused after the only competing slate of candidates withdrew. Leaders of that slate that withdrew complained that the process was rigged by the political parties, that they didn't have a fair chance to compete, that this process lacked fairness and transparency.
Did they leave the process, or are they still part of it, or is there any way to tell?
Well, the leaders of the opposition slate, if you will, promised to stay engaged in the political process and try again when democratic elections are held. Those elections are scheduled now for January. So that's a very optimistic sign, and the development of an opposition is certainly, you know, a healthy sign in a democratic government. But there were a lot of bitter feelings. About a dozen delegates from the southern city of Basra marched out of the conference, complaining that there was not sufficient representation for their city. Other minority groups, political independents, also huffed away. So there's some hard feelings here that will have to be soothed over in the coming weeks and months.
Well, let's move on to the other dramatic development today, and that word that at what may have been the last hour from Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr that he was willing to accept terms laid down by the interim assembly in a note that was delivered to him yesterday, essentially that he's agreed to lay down his arms and transfer from an armed resistance to political process.
That's right. It was a dramatic moment when a Shiite politician came into the National Conference Assembly Hall and announced that he had a communique from Muqtada al-Sadr and that Sadr was willing to accede to the three key demands of this conference, that he disband his militia, that they vacate a Shiite holy shrine in the city of Najaf, and that he participate in a nonviolent way in the political process. But it's all going to be here in the details, Neil. Sadr has made agreements with the Iraqi government, Iraqi political leaders before, only to renege on them. And the key thing that American officials and Iraqi officials are looking for is whether the militia really disbands. Even if they pull out of that shrine, these hundreds, thousands of young men who are heavily armed, will they lay down their weapons? Will those weapons be turned in? Will they demobilize? And this is not an easy issue. It's not as simple as simply telling these guys to go home. It's a question of trying to find new jobs, new opportunities for some of these people so that they don't sort of pick up weapons once again and pose a recurring threat to the new government here.
Well, of course, the situation, first of all, what's going on in Najaf? Has there been a ceasefire? Have people started giving concrete indications of willingness to surrender?
Not at all yet. There's still clashes there. It's still a very tense situation. I was in the city last night, certainly before this offer from Sadr was made, and it was like driving to the middle of a war zone. It was a city under siege. The streets were empty. Close to the shrine, all you saw were young men heavily armed. The sound of gunfire, mortars, artillery was echoing all the time. Now, one thing to also keep watch on here is that Sadr's offer is somewhat nuanced. Even though he says he'll accept the conditions, the emissary who brought the letter to the conference said, well, what Sadr really also wants is some negotiation on implementation. So that means that there will probably be a further process here of discussion, and just how this all comes about and when it comes about is still unclear.
And whether, if he can control the people in Najaf, he can also do similar work with the people allied with him, also involved in fighting in Baghdad and a dozen other cities in the southern part of Iraq. That also remains to be seen.
That's right. Now certainly the hope of government officials here is that when he disbands his militia, it will be disbanded not just in Najaf, but in cities all across central and southern Iraq, and in Baghdad Sadr city slum, where it's still a very tense situation there. So the hope is certainly that it will all sort of fold, but actually getting to that point is going to be a long and very complicated process.
Thanks very much. We appreciate it.
Good to talk to you again, Neil. Bye-bye.
Rajiv Chandrasekaran is the Baghdad bureau chief of the Washington Post, and he joined us from their offices in Baghdad. The developments at the Iraqi National Conference and, of course, in Najaf have garnered a lot of headlines in the United States. But what are Iraqis saying about all of this? To get some sense of that, we turn now to Iraq's first independent talk radio station, Radio Dishla. Ahmad Al-Rakabi is the founder of Radio Dishla. He joins us now from his home in Baghdad. It's good to have you back on Talk of the Nation.
Thank you very much, sir.
What are Iraqis talking about on Radio Dishla today? Obviously, dramatic news from Najaf and dramatic news about the agreement on the Interim Council.
Well, there is a general feeling here in Baghdad. People would like to see an end for the crisis in Najaf. People are tired of the presence of the Mahdi's army, because even in relatively peaceful days, the Mahdi army is causing a lot of troubles for the people. They're trying to impose their own laws. They even have their own prisons. And it's worth to mention as well that many members of the Mahdi's army are actually people who served in the Fidayeen of Saddam. I was told yesterday from eyewitnesses that some of the members of this army, they have under their shirts tattoos which states, God, our country, our nation, and the leader, our soul is for you, Saddam. These are tattoos which those people are carrying since the days of Saddam Hussein. So there are evidence that many members of the Mahdi army actually are people who served Saddam Hussein. Moreover, people are tired of the unclear agenda of Muqtada al-Sadr. They would like to know what's his agenda, what's his goal. And now I'm talking about the majority of the Iraqis. There are thousands of Iraqis who follow Muqtada al-Sadr, but despite the fact that they are thousands, they are still represent a minority comparing to the population of the Iraqi people. Now, definitely an attack against Najaf is worrying for many Iraqis. There is a spiritual relationship with Najaf, especially for the Shiites, who are about two-thirds of the country. So to see the holy shrine under attack, or to see battles and clashes taking place around the holy shrine, is definitely something that most Iraqis wouldn't like to see. But at the same time, they would like to see an end for the Mahdi's army. Again, according to eyewitnesses, the Mahdi's army are planting mines on the roads and civilian areas, and they are preparing themselves for a serious battle, despite the fact that they have announced today in the Iraqi National Conference that they accept the terms laid by the conference. Since 2 o'clock local time, there was serious clashes in Sadr city, and there are reports that situation is unstable in Najaf. There was reports that the governorate headquarters was attacked and the police station was attacked. So we don't know. It's a bit confusing, actually. We don't know whether Sadr really agreed and accepted the terms of of the Iraqi conference or whether it was a game to win some time and to prepare themselves for a serious battle. However, people are tired of this, and people would like to see an end of for this, and people are tired of seeing behaviors which reminds us only of one group, which is the Taliban's. In some parts of southern Iraq, they are attacking music shops. They are attacking even local TV stations playing music. So this is not representative for the majority of the Iraqi people.
We're talking with Ahmad al-Rikabi, the founder of Radio Dishla, Baghdad's first call-in radio program, independent station. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And I wanted to get to a couple of more things in the small time we have remaining with you, but I did want to ask, in the old days, certainly under Saddam, or for that matter under the American occupation, an order from the top, well, that was an order. It was to be carried out. This most recent incident in Najaf, the interim assembly said, wait a minute, we want to send a delegation. Is this regarded by your callers as a good thing, as checks and balances on the executive, or is this regarded as a sign of weakness?
Well, the people are definitely supporting, or let's say the majority are supporting all the initiatives to create or to achieve a peaceful solution for the crisis of Najaf, and definitely the delegation which was chosen or selected by the conference has a great support from the majority, and some people now I've heard some opinions they are criticizing Murtada Sadr for not respecting the delegation because he didn't meet the delegation when they were in Najaf. He didn't respect the fact that the delegation had a Shiite cleric as well, a senior Shiite cleric, and the fact that the delegation had also one of Sadr's relatives. I think it was his aunt who was one of the members of the delegation. So he didn't show any respect to those people. And if he was a person looking for a peaceful solution, he should have showed some will and he should have met the delegation. So people are criticizing this attitude. And there are even theories, and some believe that Murtada Sadr is suffering from a serious illness, that he's suffering from schizophrenia, because most of his behaviors prove that and sometimes he is behaving as two people and not as one person.
Well, that's obviously that's something that's open to dispute and something that many people will argue about. Very little time left, but I did want to ask you about the Olympic Games are going on. The soccer team from Iraq has shocked the world thus far, and we appreciate you taking the time today to talk to us. Their game is on right now, isn't it?
Exactly. While I'm talking to you, Radio Dijla is broadcasting live the soccer game between Iraq and Morocco, and the Iraqis are really happy. They're very proud about their soccer team, and I remember one comment we had here about people were trying to give some explanations, and in our comments on the soccer games, I remember one caller said, "This is the price of freedom." Now the Iraqi football team, or the Iraqi soccer team, as you call it in America, is focusing on the ball. And that's why they're making a progress. In the days of Saddam Hussein, the focus was divided between the ball and the punishment which is waiting for them in Baghdad.
Ahmed al-Rikabi, thank you very much. He's the founder of Radio Dishla. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.